It's not the first time that Barrow gets so few whales. My father used to tell me that in 1963 he was the only crew that got a whale, because the west wind was blowing so much that the water never did open up. He actually got a whale in a little small opening, and only the big whales were going by through that one opening. That's how they got that one whale in 1963. Mm-hmm. I remember that year because he used to have that baleen hanging up in our house a long time ago. He used to have a baleen there. And he said he was the only one that got the whale back in 1963 because too much west wind. It just blew like this year, that the west wind just blew all the way through the season.
Yeah.
So it's not the first time that he'd done that.
Is that west wind related to the slush ice that was there most of the season too?
Yeah. That ice just did you go out there?
Yeah, I went out there a few times.
Did you see walls of it just?
Yeah, I went out there on, I think on this day actually, on May 16th with Roy. And we were on David Levitt's trail, so we were out.
Yeah, that's our trail.
Yeah. Trail. The day I saw you, we stopped by and you were in the tent. And we could just see a wall of that slushy stuff. I mean, it was...
We call it Mohalik. Mm. Mohalik, there's no strength in that ice at all. There's too much snow in there. There's no strength at all in that ice. It just rubs sideways and just keeps building it up. See how that wall was kind of straight up?
Yes.
And it's real hard to work with, even if you try to chop it off. Yeah. It don't break like regular ice. There's too much snow in it. Your pick just goes through and you don't break nothing off.
Yeah.
So that's that ice that was there. We call it Mohalik. Because of the sideways movement, you know, it goes like that all the time, rubbing all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And over here on this side, there was too many young cracks. Too many young cracks right around that area that they couldn't really get out there.
Down here on this peninsula that came out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So many young cracks on that side. We were the ones with on our crew. We were the ones with a good trail, all right. But that slush ice was always on the way.
Mm. So you guys used this trail?
We were with David Levitt and him.
That one. Did you guys hunt there the whole season, or did you go?
We stayed there until they got the last whales. Mm. Actually, that whale they got the last time, Ned Erie.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only whale I saw. I never saw any blowshore at all. Earlier in the season, they said they saw the blows over there, but that was when it first opened up. It had lots of young ice that only 1 foot wide. Maybe that's part of it showing up here.
Yeah.
It was only 1 foot, 1 foot thick.
Mm-hmm.
They had that all the way going down all the way over there. If it's 1 foot thick like that, you can't, you got no place to put up the whale.
Yeah. So did Ned Erie get his whale up here? Or?
Just right off our thing. We saw it come up right by our boat launch right there. We were still on the Mohalik, that slush ice right there. But we chased it down and they finally got it just offshore. And then they tried to pull up their whale right there, where their camp was, Ned Erie's camp. They actually had to, they did a lot of work on it. They had to, the ice, that Mohalik wouldn't support the head of the whale. That's the heaviest part of the whale, mm-hmm. The ice is. I mean, the head is the heaviest part of the whale. So they actually cut off the head just to put up the body. They made a mistake of not tying off the head. Mm. When the meat gets boiled, it starts bubbling up. And usually the head will float up just from the tongue. Mm-hmm. The tongue got a lot of gases in it.
Yeah.
When it spoils. But when it's not spoiled, it will sink. When the meat is not rotten or whatever you call it.
So did that head sink?
The head sank.
Oh, really?
We sure wanted to get the bale in, all right, but they didn't tie it off. It sunk right there.
Yeah, I heard that didn't one of the, was it the whale before that one where they actually did tie the head off? And Roy told me that he thought it still might be out there, tied to the ice.
It was further out, further. It was on the west side. They tied off Johnny Levitt's whale, the head. But then the fourth whale, the Akhivwak's whale, the trail just deteriorated so fast over there while they got two whales over there.
Down here?
It was right off Nunavut, right off here.
Oh, okay.
It must have been this trail.
Yeah.
Eugene's trail. They were on Eugene's. Hmm. But they moved over here. They were in front of Nunavut. Here's Nunavut right here.
Yeah.
They were in front of here. And they tied that whale head off, but they never did go backward. Because of all the young eyes that, the cracks that just opened up this spring and never did close back up, we call that Nutakotak. We call that Nutakotak. That's what kept the ice so thin in some of that area. When you were in snow machining over there,
mm-hmm.
you could see a lot of
cracks.
Lot of young cracks.
They were down on Eugene's Trail, you mean?
Yeah, on Eugene's Trail.
We did see some.
It actually was maybe part of this here.
Yeah.
But it was further back, somewhere around here. Yeah. When it opened up, it never did close it back up. Usually they close back up.
Yeah.
To a crack you can jump over, but these ones were almost eighth of a mile even. They were that wide, the young ice that was over there. Because I was thinking that, because there's nothing to push all that ice, maybe the ice was all the same thickness out there.
Yeah.
You need heavier ice to do some major ridging.
Yeah.
See these ridges out here, that's for? When I looked at them, they're just from the ice just going sideways. A lot of them just build ridges real quick, just from the ice moving sideways. That's how I look at it. Because when I do my ice observations,
mm-hmm.
I would notice that when the ice breaks off the first time, and the next day there'll be ridges, and it's just from the ice. When it starts moving, it just rubs against there, and a piece is stuck maybe right there, and it will just ridge it up real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen down here this year?
No, not too much. It, there's still a piece. The water right now is right off Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still some ridging over here that got left behind. Nunavut is known for a place to have ridges too.
Mm-hmm.
That one year, the ridges were actually on top of the bank on the other side of Nunavut Bay, on top of the bank,
mm-hmm.
and they were a good 2 stories high.
When was that? 2 years ago?
2-3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah,
you've seen it?
I did. I drove. If I'm thinking of the same year, it was.
It was on top of the bank.
It was 2 years ago. Yeah,
I drove
down there and was amazed actually at that.
Yeah,
I hadn't expected it.
That's the problem with the first year. I said, when it's even in the summer, it can be pushed up. If there's no ridges that are grounded out here,
mm-hmm.
and even in the summer, when the west winds blow, heavier ice coming, it will actually push up the ice on top of the gravel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with the first year ice. It's when it floats up, it's just floating, so the ice will actually push it on top of the banks. We've had seasons, winters up here that it's actually knocked down telephone poles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Andy Mahoney was up here when that happened, that one year, I believe. But does the word Nunavak, is that related to Ister?
No, Nunavak. That's a place name.
Yeah.
Nunavak is a place name. Mm-hmm. But that's where reaching out was, when I had meetings with the elders, Ben always tell me Nunavak always have ridges. For some reason there's a shoal or something out here that there's a shallow spot, he was trying to say, like a shoal or something right off Nunavak, a shallow spot. That's why it always have the ridges around there.
Are there any names that are given to areas of coastline based on
all
the
of them,
type of
all
conditions?
Of them,
that you
all have? Of them have names. All of these gullies have names. Mm-hmm. They're actually working on that. I got a hold of a map that we're using in the book we're working on.
Oh, with Henry?
Yeah. All of these gullies have names, place names. All these little gullies and the low spots, they all have names. All the in the Barrow area, they have names all the way down to Beard Bay. In that map, they haven't corrected it yet. That's why they're not releasing it yet, the Borough. They're all in there. Mm-hmm. Somebody who knew all the place names put them all down there. All these little creeks, or even little gullies, they all have names.
Are those names, how do they get those names? I mean, what makes someone decide what type of name?
They were there when, I don't know how they got the names, but maybe it's two people. Yeah. They always, when they're talking about something, like on the ice, they will use that as a landmark, and they all have names like that. But Hollywood is where they made the movie.
Yeah.
That one is actually Sikhlukak. But after they made the movie, they put in Hollywood. So a lot of people call it Hollywood. It's actually Sikhlukak. Anyway, all these gullies, they all have names. Even the high spots that stick out on the land, they would have a name for that. That's what Nupbarak is. Nupbarak is the high spot, the highest spot in the whole, up to the monument. It's the highest spot right there. That's the one that shows up when you're out in the ocean, the high spot. So Nupbarak is actually like a landmark name. It's the highest, it's off the bank a little bit. It's the highest spot. It's away from the bank, but yeah. If you go to Nupbarak and go right on top of it, you can actually get a better view than from the bank itself. Hmm. It's just a little ways from the bank, but you get a better view of it. It's higher. The elevation of Nupbarak is higher. It's actually right off the bank of it, just a little quarter, half mile away, maybe quarter mile away.
But one of the things that I was curious about is that Mughaluk.
Mughaluk, yeah.
What do you think causes the ice to be that way? In my mind, it must be
snow. Snow. It's a lot of snow. This year there was a lot of snow up here, okay? And when it opened up, if the water is cold enough, the snow won't melt from the water itself. When it opened up earlier, even the snow from on top of the ice, it's the snow that causes that to happen. You can tell when you're trying to use your pick on that Mughaluk, you can tell there's a lot of snow because your pick, it don't break off the ice. Like when you're chopping ice, it'll shatter.
Yeah.
But Mughaluk is snow, you can tell right away because when you try to use your pick just goes right through and it, you can tell it's snow. Mm-hmm. It's snow, that's what it is. This year there was a lot of snow up here. A lot of snow on the tundra this year. So that's the main reason for Mohalik.
That makes sense.
It's the snow. You can tell one shot that it's the snow that causes the Mohalik to be like that.
Mm-hmm. So, what type of advice did the trail that you guys use?
That one.
How would you describe the?
The reason we went right there is because this side formed the ice first in maybe in November, mm-hmm. when it first starts forming. That one was we never had no cracks. It was solid all the way down. It was no mollig or nothing. It was solid all the way down to the water. Down to where the old water used to be, the old water line. Maybe this one is the one right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
And on this side of it was the younger ice, or some of this didn't come off. This stuff that was only 1 foot thick, some of it didn't come off at all. So this one was solid, more solid over here. And this side of it had a lot of the young cracks, a lot of the thin ice was over on this side of it. Mm-hmm. But this side was more solid over here on this side.
Yeah.
It was more solid on this side. That's why we ended up over here. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to go down there. And
yeah, these ridges, I noticed going out on these trails that there are some pretty significant ridges there.
Uh-huh.
Is that a common type of ridge?
Yeah, yeah. Especially for around here.
Yeah.
Right by the point. Mm-hmm. Before it goes over the point, the ice. The ice always come in. When the ice is coming in, it always get maybe no place to go and start going this way.
Yeah.
That's why the ridges are always high on this side over here, where the current is. Over here, where the two currents are, yeah, that's the most dangerous part of whaling is the point.
Mm-hmm. Because you have the currents that are coming like this,
uh-huh.
and you have mm-hmm. ones that are coming
mm-hmm. right
from
there.
The west.
See, it used to be, when we had a lot of the ice, on the east wind, this side would open.
Mm-hmm.
But this side would be closed all the time.
Yeah.
But when it got west wind, this side closed and this side open.
Mm-hmm.
Akilinak, we call it Akilinak. That's how it used to work, but we don't have all that multi-year ice anymore. So a lot of time it stays open now.
Mm.
It used to be that on the east side of the point, on the west wind, it would open up and this side closed.
Mm.
That's how it used to work. But a lot of it is changing so much. The weather is changing.
But what would cause the ice over here to open?
Because it's a point. If you had a bigger map.
Yeah.
Right here, right out here. If you could go. Yeah, right there. On the west wind, see? The west wind, ice comes in right here.
Mm-hmm.
But it would open up on this side. Not really close to the islands, but this side would open. Because
mm-hmm.
Point Barrow is such a big point. And you know Canada is way over here, see?
Yeah.
That's why this side would open. Mm-hmm. But when it's from the east wind, it would close right there. This side would close, coming in, the ice coming in, close over here from the east wind, and open up on this side. See what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because Barrow is the point.
Yeah.
Because Barrow is the point.
What's changed is I don't quite understand what has changed that has changed that pattern. Is it the
maybe the point is eroding so fast nowadays.
Oh.
See? Yeah. If you look at a lot of the old pictures, the point is actually maybe even a mile or more out further from long ago, from the 1800s or something. If you look at that, if you look at that picture at the new science building, mm-hmm. that it begins to make sense to me that the point is actually eroding so fast now. Because the point was used to be way out here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why there was always where the two currents meet. Mm-hmm. There was always a big pressure ridge that they tried to take care of. I mean, they tried to make sure there's a pressure ridge real high and grounded and solid off the point. Mm-hmm. If some years it never, there's no pressure ridge. When there's no pressure ridge right here, around the point area,
yeah.
that's well grounded. When the bigger ice comes in from the east, it can actually break off the ice all the way down. Mm-hmm. That pressure ridge right there acts as a deflector for the ice.
Yeah.
It can actually break it all the way down through the stories that they tell. It can break it all the way down to Franklin Point right over there by Wainwright.
Yeah.
So they try to look at, make sure that there's a pressure ridge off the point that is well grounded. If it's not there, that in one of our when we got drifted out, I don't know how many years ago, early 90s maybe, there was no pressure ridge or something right here, and the ice broke up behind all the first pressure ridges even, mm-hmm. all the way down, and everybody got drifted out.
So that was that?
From the east wind. From the east wind. From the east wind, and I remember that day that we had a lot of current, but the current was coming from the other way, so the tide was actually coming up, or that tide was high or something, but the east wind was blowing maybe over 30 miles an hour. We got off the lead and moved our camp back, but we didn't go far. We didn't go past the first pressure ridge from the beach, because there was a real big pressure ridge that was right there. And all the guys told us that that one won't go because it's well grounded. It wasn't grounded. It took off. That's why people always try to make sure they know if there's a pressure ridge over here.
Yeah.
That pressure ridge, when it's well grounded and solid, it can act as a deflector for the ice.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not there, the heavier ice coming in from the east, if it's not there, that's what happens. The ice tends to break off on the flat spot, this side of the pressure ridge. That's what it is. Kitchisak, they would call that. Kitchisak is something that is well grounded. Even the well grounded ones, they will actually stay into August. The pressure ridges will actually stay into August. The pressure ridges that are well grounded.
Yeah. And what do you think the case was this year?
There was some high ridges over there in front of the point. But all we had was west winds. Though too much west wind is, it didn't, the weather never did cooperate with us. See the ice over here? There's a lot less current on this side over here. A lot less current. The current tries to stay out over here sometimes, mm-hmm. further out.
Yeah.
There's a lot less current over here. Even further south, that's why it opens up real close to the shore around here. This is maybe around Senegal Rock. Mm-hmm. This one can, there's this part going further. The further south you go, the flatter the ice is on this side. You know that. the shoreline's going to be over here, but it's going to be flatter over here.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot less current over here. The current, when it comes, it tends to go towards the point.
Yeah.
When it's going to hit. And that's where all the ridges come up over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we always look out for, too, is because this is real flat ice, and usually a lot of times it's only the first year ice. Mm-hmm. So when the tides come up, this ice that is so flat over here will actually break off in big pans of ice.
Yeah.
And when there's a west wind, it will come up towards Barrow and then hit along Barrow. That's when the ridging occurs too in May. It's from the ice that was there all winter over here.
Mm-hmm.
But when the tides lift it up, it goes towards Barrow and hits around here.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is ridged over here from this. You've been here in May about a couple of years ago that there was a super big pressure ridge that just appeared out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to tell you is
when this stuff broke off down
when
here.
When this stuff breaks off, you could actually see it on the satellites too. People mentioned that to me that on the satellite it broke off by Tuapakusuko or somewhere. Then that big pressure ridge just right off the airport over here showed up just out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
That was from the big pans of ice that broke off over here and got pushed up over here. Pushed up in front of Barrow.
Yeah. Yeah,
the further south you go, the less current there is over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's safer to go whaling this side of the point. That's why nobody goes whaling on this side.
Mm-hmm.
On the east side. Some years they will, all right, but nobody ever goes whaling. In that one year we went out 20 miles east of the point in June looking for, we found the whales all right. They were so big, but the current was so strong we knew we couldn't even take the whale back.
Mm.
One guy got a whale around June 6th and he was maybe almost 20 miles east of the point. They never made it to Barrow. Mm. They couldn't get the whale to Barrow. The ice just started closing up on them. The current's always going this way.
During whaling, or?
A lot of times it always goes this way. So it's better to get your whale on this side. That way you have better chance of getting it to the shore pass.
Mm-hmm.
Even walrus hunters will use that. Walrus hunters try to keep in mind the current is going that way.
Is that primarily just in the springtime, or is that all year?
No. The other current is, a lot of times the other current is going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But walrus hunters always keep in mind that they're going to cut their walrus on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to go west, and the current will bring you, while you're cutting up your walrus, it's actually going to bring you closer to Barrow, instead of out away from Barrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of stuff that people keep in mind is the current. They have to remember the current is out there.
Yeah.
They talk to us that the older people try when they start outboard season in mid-May, the currents are already going this way. So you go meet the whales to the west. If there's a whale out there, you would try to go meet it to the west. Because you're gonna. Because that way the current will work with you.
So based on what you said, what was the fact that this ice that sticks out here, the fact that stuck around, is that rare? Or did people expect this to break off, this point that sticks out?
That to me, that was rare. Because a lot of times the tide would have lifted it up.
Yeah. Took it out.
Yeah, took it out, but it never did happen. See how straight it got over here?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been going on for how long? Maybe since March or something.
Yeah.
And these ones, you know, they never did get closed up. The young cracks that were there that were so wide, Nutakotat, we would call that. So that one we were waiting for it to break off, it never did break off. If it broke off, maybe we would have had a better season. Maybe it would have took out that Mogalik that was. See how the Mogalik got formed just from that.
Yeah.
Sideways movement, just see almost. That's how it's formed right there. But I was counting on that to come up, because yeah. There's so many of the current. Maybe the current never fixed itself. They always say the current is going to fix it up, but it never did it this year. See how straight that thing is right there?
Yeah.
Instead of going in. Another one might be the there was hardly any heavier ice out here. Multi-year ice. We see a couple of pieces, but that's all.
Yeah.
The heavier ice needs to be out here to cause a lot of the reaching.
Yeah.
Over here. It needs to be pushed. If it's not heavy, it just goes around right.
Yeah,
it doesn't. But if it's heavy, if it gets hooked somewhere, then it will cause this to, even this first year ice to ridge up. That this stuff is really young,
mm-hmm.
just from this year. I was thinking that the whole ocean, a lot of the ocean out here,
yeah.
was so young, not thick enough to, not heavy enough to push it. It needs heavier ice to break it off. And this stuff was not heavy enough, so it just go parallel with the
yeah.
with the thing. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You have to remember the heavier ice will do the heavier reaching and break off a lot of this that never got
mm-hmm.
broken off. Even the pressure ridges that are kind of high, you can tell when you're looking at the ocean. The ones that go way into the water,
mm-hmm.
they can actually go, if the current is strong enough, they can actually go into the wind. Because of the current starts at the bottom, that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
That's where that happens, the ice that goes way into the water. They'll actually go right into the wind, while the young thin ice on top is going with the wind, going to the west, going away. The heavier ice can actually
go against the wind
because of the current from the bottom.
Yeah.
That's why we do sounding. When we can't understand the ice, sounding is the way to. It'll start making sense to you out there when you do your sounding.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go down straight. I did this a couple of times this year. It went down straight for a while. Then towards the bottom, our weight just took off on the bottom. We knew the current was on the bottom, and the current will actually rise to the top, starting at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing your sounding checks, the current, if you're out there for the longest time, you know, a lot of times there'll be no current at all the way to the bottom. But when you do your sounding, the current will actually start on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
where the movement is. And it might take 2-3 days for the current to come up, but it will actually come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the opposite of the winds that are high in the sky.
Because
mm-hmm. a lot of times you'll have no wind on the ground, but you can see the clouds really moving, and the clouds will come down, and that's where your wind comes in, from
yeah.
the top. It's opposite of the wind. And one guy that I always tell the story on KBRW is a guy named Jim Numnick. When he talks about the current, if you can't, no way of telling how the current is on the ocean. On a real clear day, you see the highest clouds. They're not even clouds, you know, they're so high up, they're just like in lines.
Yeah.
If you look at those, that is actually telling you which way the current is going. See, that's the stuff they figured out.
Yeah.
That's what gets a lot of people lost is they don't take care of the current. They're either the highest clouds, they're not even clouds, they just look like lines, like a jet stream or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can really notice them up here. If you got no way of knowing which way the current is going, that's what you would look for. That's what's telling you which way they're lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll look like they're going this way, but sometimes they look like they're going this way. That tells you which way the current is on the ocean. I don't know how that works, but people, I don't know how they figured it out. They just lived up there so long, you know, they actually get to know the weather.
Through a lot
yeah.
of experience.
Yeah. Even the dark clouds out there, the smoke, you can really tell what the ocean is doing just by looking at them.
Which direction the currents are going?
Uh-huh. Even on a real cloudy day with not much visibility, if you look at the dark clouds out there on the ocean, if there's a lot of water, you can actually tell a big piece of ice is coming when it starts turning white. You can actually look at the white, and pretty soon the ice will show up from where the white area is. It gives off the white reflection. It's the water that's giving off the reflection to the clouds. That's why it's dark, right? But when there's a big piece of ice coming, that's what they rely on, is that it's just like a big screen. You can actually, if you watch it long enough, you can actually see which way that big ice is going, moving sideways or moving in.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that they watch out for. That to them, to the hunters that know what's going on out there, they just use it as a big giant TV screen right there, just like it tells them what's going on out there just by looking at it. Even that, you know, sometimes you'll see the blue going way up here, the dark clouds going way past Barrow up here.
Yep.
That tells us it's open, but when it's going to start closing, that dark will actually start turning white.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually tell the ice is hitting over there, rubbing or something east side of the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they keep track of too out there.
Yeah, that really helps me understand actually how this all works. Yeah, it's good to.
You got to go sit out there in a whaling camp sometimes. So I'll try to sit out there the whole season.
Yeah.
Then you can understand.
Well, I believe you because I know there's so many things I still don't understand. But I was out there quite a bit this year. Both at the census camp and out on the different trails and just
remember
observing things really helps.
Yeah, that's what you got to do, observe.
Yeah.
Even people will try to let you understand, but it's when you don't see it, it's really hard to understand. Yeah. But if you see it and if you look at the weather, then it starts to make sense. Even from your soundings, then it starts to make more sense.
Yeah, well, yeah. I had the, you've told me about the currents coming up from below before, and I had that experience this year when I was, you know, a lot of times when I'm measuring my thickness, I want to know how deep the water is as well. And I dropped a real heavy piece of metal down on a rope to figure out how deep it was, and I could see it go straight, and then it just kept going and going and going, and I realized that it was taking off down below.
Uh-huh.
So, it matched pretty well with
but when it's coming up, but it's going to come up.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, 2 or 3 days, it will actually come up. That's when you do observations. It, you know, when you're out there looking at it, you can. Then it starts to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the young ice is freezing, when the lead is freezing over a little bit, that's a good time too to look at it to see how ice behaves.
Mm-hmm.
It will freeze, but when the tide comes up, the surface won't break off right away. It's going to be the young ice, that thin ice, going to break off first.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will move with the wind or with the current. That's, to me, that's, when I look at that happening, to me, then it starts becoming the whole picture of how the ice is behaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the thicker ice. When you look at the young ice, it's just like the big ice is going to behave like that. When you're watching it, maybe when you're watching it, you learn a lot more about the ice.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit out there and watch it for a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I would understand what you meant by the slush ice to a certain extent, but having observed it that day when I met you at your
mm-hmm.
tent and I went out with Roy, it really, it was amazing to see that just big
wall.
That wall of slush. I mean, we could actually just almost reach out and just touch it, and then just this big wall of slush.
Yeah.
It was quite amazing.
If that, you know, when it's so young, even when the temperatures are too warm, you don't want to be on that kind of ice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you, before you get a chance to freeze, you will actually go through on that. You can actually get a pole in some places and just keep hitting the bowl,
mm-hmm.
and it actually will go right into the water.
If that slush ice stops moving and it stays in place for a while,
it'll freeze.
And it freezes, do you still call it?
Mogollick. Still Mogollick. There's no strength in that ice at all. Even when we're breaking trails, a lot of times you'll see Mogollick. You'll just cross over. You know one shot that it's Mogollick.
Mm-hmm.
You'll cross over it and keep going
mm-hmm.
to heavier ice still.
Yeah.
When you're out there, you have to keep in mind that Mogollick is back here. There's no strength.
Within.
That's where it tends to break off.
Yeah.
Because there's no strength at all in that ice. It's just a lot of snow and pieces of ice in there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're making a trail, when you cross Mogollick like that,
mm-hmm.
you keep in mind that when you're going to try to go ahead for safer ice,
yeah.
you want to try cross that. Because that's where it tends to break off, because that mm-hmm. Mogollick has no strength on it at all. It can't even support a whale. That's why they had to.
That's different from a crack.
Yeah.
I mean, so are those the two main places where you would say it breaks, or are there more? Like ice feeder, I mean, you have crabs and you have Mogollick?
Mostly Mogollick and the thinner ice. Like yeah. the thinner ice behind the heavier ice.
Mm-hmm.
The thinner, there's always thinner ice somewhere. The thinner ice usually stays flat. That's why there's always flat areas. That's where the thin spots are,
yeah.
where the flat ice is.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's heavier ice out here towards the lead, and there's a lot of flat spots after the first pressure ridge, that it usually breaks off too on the thinner ice behind the heavier ice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when the heavier ice is here, when it finally comes back, a lot of times we don't even run away from the ocean. Even when the ice comes in, you just keep your camp right there and you don't run away.
Yeah.
When that happens, it tends to go back to the way it used to be, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Long ago, I say long ago, not too long ago. But certain years it has done that we don't even run away from the ice coming in.
Because
mm-hmm. we know that the multi-year ice, the Pekaliak, when it's out there, it feels like it goes back for a little while to the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And it's so good, you don't have to run away from the ice, you just stay out there, sleep all day, there's no water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The people had to run a lot this year?
The guys on this side.
To south.
Yeah. Only a couple of days I noticed they did that, but most of the time it wasn't open. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it opened, they were anxious to get out to the water. They stayed in the water as long as they could, and they couldn't even, because of all the young spots on the cracks, they had to make sure they were behind the ice, mm-hmm. the young ones. Even this year, that a couple of crews left their Eugene in them. Maybe Eugene can talk better about it. They actually left their boat on what they thought was safe ice, but maybe 100 feet behind the boats, the ice still cracked right there. Mm-hmm. When it's young ice, it's always flat, so you got to remember that's where it's going to break, the flat ice.
Yeah.
Maybe Eugene can talk more about that.
Yeah.
Because Eugene and them, they had to get out of town and go back for their boats. There was about 5 boats that they mentioned that the crack was behind their boats.
Hmm. But they got them.
Yeah, they got them this year.
I've heard people last year and the year before even talking about the warm water that comes up in the spring melting out the cracks.
Yeah, the currents will melt the cracks out.
Does it do that to the Mogollick as well?
Yeah. That's the first thing that would go too. Mm-hmm. Mogollick. You got to remember the currents are actually running water under the ice.
Yeah.
The current, that's what it is, running water. Mm. So people always remember that it's actually eating. It won't be one day, but after a while, it will eat out the cracks.
Yeah.
It'll eat out the cracks. Yeah, the current is actually moving. It's eating the ice from underneath.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when there's fresh ridges by where the lead is around there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when the current comes in, underneath will actually break apart from the pressure ridges. Underneath will break apart and make a real loud noise,
mm-hmm.
like a big crack. A lot of times that ends up to be false alarm that the ice broke off above us. So when they hear a crack like that, they have to go check all the way to the beach, make sure there's no fresh cracks or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times the fresh pressure ridges will eat out underneath and break apart and hit the ice on top. And it really sounds like a big crack, like the ice is breaking off.
Yeah.
So that's something else that they watch out for too. When the pressure ridges are too new, the currents will actually break them apart.
Yeah.
Especially the ones by the lead, mm-hmm. they'll actually break off underneath, and the top don't do nothing, but it's the ones that are way underneath that break off and just hit the ice on top.
Yeah. Like the ones that aren't grounded.
The ones that aren't grounded. They'll hit the ice. They'll break apart under the water and hit the ice really loud, just like a big crack. A lot of times you could hear the ice crack. I think you can hear it is when there's a lot of lot of flat ice. You can hear it. But if it breaks off on the Mogollick, it's silent.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll feel the ice move a little bit when it breaks off.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the tide lifts up the whole ice when we're sitting down and people say, "Hey, I think I felt the ice move."
Mm-hmm.
It'll actually shake you sometimes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's real quiet because it breaks off through the Mogollick, mm-hmm. right around there, on the Mogollick.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, that answers a lot of my questions as to how this year, how to actually describe the ice condition this year.
To me, it looked like there was not enough heavy ice out here to break this off. That's mm-hmm. why it just went parallel with it.
Yes.
If it was heavier, it would have, went in and like an icebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
The ice was all the same thickness maybe out here, and that's why it just made that parallel move.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. To me, it looked like that. To me, it looked like that. If there was heavier ice, I knew that one. I knew this, all this sin stuff, you know, mm-hmm. would have moved or something. This one.
That point sticking out there.
Uh-huh. If there was heavier ice, it would have broke it off, or at least piled it up, or at least close up those real the real young ice that was only 1 foot thick. A lot of it was way back here. Maybe it's part of this. A lot of it was way back here.
Yeah.
A lot of it was.
I saw a lot of that.
If there was heavier ice, that's where it would break off too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If the heavier ice it would crumble up over here. If there was heavier ice, it would have did, you know, major breakup or something right around there. But we're not seeing any more of that multi-year ice. When my father first started his whaling crew in 1955, he said long back then the ice would just be one piece of multi-year ice and another one right there just going out and out and out. Mm-hmm. Now we're having a hard time finding a multi-year ice to get fresh water sometimes, because it's getting so rare around here. When we see one, we always be happy then.
How was it this year? Because
I knew that one that had come in around January or December, one in front of Napa.
That real big one.
Yeah. That one. That one is the one we've been getting our fresh ice from. Mm-hmm. Somebody actually mentioned to me, Benny Top mentioned to me before that one showed up over here in front of Napa. A couple of bigger pieces actually drifted in over here past Nunavak. Mm-hmm. And then after the ice did some moving around, that's when that one in front of Napa showed up. When ice gets grounded like that, a lot of times it'll break up, especially if the ice is moving. Mm-hmm. Because I noticed that when I worked on a dredge, they tried to push the ice away from their pipe. When it got grounded, even the tugboat pushing real hard, when it got grounded, it stopped. The more he kept pushing, then I just watched the ice that was thick. It just broke up right there. It just broke up into pieces.
Mm. Tugboat could do that.
Tugboat tried to move it.
Yeah.
Mm. But it got grounded on the near the beach.
Yeah.
And they wanted to move it some more, right? They couldn't move it. Mm. Only thing they did was break it.
Yeah.
It actually broke it.
So did you guys ever move your camp out to the edge?
Just to the last days of whaling. That's when we removed it. Yeah.
So when was the last whale taken?
23, 24 around there. Yeah. That's when we finally made it to the ice. When it opened up, but we had a little add-on. So we put up our tent on the safer ice, but it was only 500 feet maybe. Then we got on that cracked up ice and we had our boat right out there. We only had our boat out there one day maybe.
Yeah.
But once in a great while that happens. I remember my dad used to tell me that that one year it never did open up on them. That's where they got the whale, only in a little small opening. They got the whale, they shot the whale, put a float on it, and then it dove under for the longest time. When it dove under, they thought they lost it. But after a couple hours or something, the whale came back up right there. That's what the big whales can do. The big whales can, when it's packed so tight that the whales can't get through. The whales will actually congregate further south, just this side of Beard Bay around there, mm-hmm. where there's less current. Because this part really can get packed up.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there's water over here,
mm-hmm.
where there's less current.
Yeah.
Only the big whales can make it through sometimes. And the smaller whales will just congregate over there. Sometimes the big whales, they're the only ones that we see for a long time when there's no water at all. We'll only hear the big whales. We don't see them sometimes, but you can really hear them on a real calm day.
Mm-hmm.
Only the big whales will make it to that opening. But the smaller whales can't, so they congregate further south. They gather up down further south. The stories go that one guy named Takpuk, the whaling captain from long ago, when Barrow don't have no water, he always go catch a whale further south, down there, where there's open water.
Yeah.
Because Barrow area can get so packed up over here too. You know, once it gets packed, it can be packed shut. And a lot of times, maybe on your satellites, you'll try to see if there's water over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is getting all packed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why ABC was able to get a small whale that day it opened? Because that whale was hanging out?
17th, there's still, smaller whales are rare, but they're still out
there.
They're still there. The latest one, my father got one in May 23. They got a small, he went to collect the ABC Scott. And the one that got me was a Percy Nusangina. That time he got a whale. It was in May 28. Mm-hmm. He got a small one further south. So some of them are still around yet.
Is that because it's packed up here, or just because some are still
there? Some are still there.
Yeah.
Some are still there. You'll still see small blows. But small blows are real hard to sight. If the wind is blowing a little bit, they're real hard to sight. They'll just see the big blows and go after the big blows.
Yeah.
But smaller whales are always still there. Mm-hmm. They're just harder to see. Once they see a whale, you know, they go after it. The big whales, the ones with the big blows, like the heights of the telephone poles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the ones they see and go after. But if you're on the ice and your boat is not there, a lot of times you see the small whales going by along the lead, and their boat is way the hell down there chasing another big whale.
Mm.
They're always still there, but you know, there are a few of them.
Mm.
The small ones, they tend to go by first in the springtime, and it's the opposite in the fall time. In the fall time, in August, end of August, the big whales will be going by. That's why Barrow always open up the season in October. That way they have better chance of getting the smaller whales.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller whales, they can actually stay until into November.
Really?
I know that one crew got a whale on November 2. That's, you know, that's pretty late.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, I think that was... Yeah, that was most of my questions, I think. Well, then I. So what? When was it that you guys actually put your trail in? Was that in late March? Or?
They worked on it in. We just joined them. They were already working on it. They went over there in early April.
Yeah.
Early April. When we looked at the ice, we didn't know where to go. So they went to help out on the other crew, but. The other crew was, they didn't like their trail, so they just moved over to my cousin's trail over here.
Yeah. So this is from March 29th, this one
uh-huh.
here. These little bays,
uh-huh.
I was wondering, were people thinking that those would be places
yeah.
that whales would be
yeah.
in?
That would be, you would want to be on this side, so you could see this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a good view of this way, you could see the whales coming. When you're looking this way, you try to be backwards. You don't want to look that way. You're seeing the whales pass you. You got to see the whales in front of you, so you would try to be on this side of them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times the pressure ridges, maybe these are little ridges, a lot of times the whales will come up on this side. If there's a pressure ridge just going right over here,
mm-hmm.
whales like to follow the pressure ridge. When they go under the young ice,
yeah.
they like to follow the pressure ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, a lot of times, they'll end up over here, where the end of the pressure ridge is.
Come up.
Yeah. A lot of times, when they start seeing whales come up at the same spot over here, people will actually go sit over there.
Mm.
But when you got your boat out there, you want to look over here where you got a good view of this side.
Mm-hmm.
If you're over here, you're looking at the whales that are passing you. If you're over here, you're looking at the whales that are coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
That way you know the whale is coming. You try to have a good view of it. This one right here would be really good.
Yeah.
If you got a good view of it over here, that's where you want.
Yeah.
Manilinak, this is what you call this, Manilinak.
Mm.
And this side of it would be Ilulak.
Mm.
Ilulak, Manilinak.
Can you write those down?
Manilinak and Ilulak.
So this one is the...
Where you got a good view of it,
yeah.
of the whales coming towards you.
So does this refer to a side of the bay?
Or yeah, this side of the bay is the Manilinak, where you could see the whales coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ilulak is when you're looking at the whales that are past you already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The opposite, it's just on that little bay that they would use that term. In that little bay we would call Kangetluk. That this thing is here?
Something like that.
That little bay like that?
Mm-hmm.
Kangetluk. Here. This one is a Kangetluk book.
Yeah.
And this one is just Kangetluk.
Kangetluk.
Kangetluk Puk. Puk means big.
Mm-hmm.
If you were bigger, they would call you Matt Brock. Matt Puk.
Start eating more.
Yeah, yeah. Kangetluk. Yeah, there's an L with Kangetluk. Kangetluk.
And then so this would just be P-U-K if it was big at the end?
Yeah,
Kangetluk.
Should replace the last one. Kangetluk. Kangetluk is a little bay and Puk.
P-A-K.
P-A-K. Okay, yeah, right on the end. Yeah. Kangetluk is the cove, the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, because it's so big, Kangetluk Puk.
Because
it's big like that.
Yeah.
And this one they would call Nuvuak Puk.
Point?
Nuvuak Puk. Same thing as Point mm-hmm. Nuvuk. It pertains to Nuvuk.
Yeah.
The point. Nuvuak Puk, big point.
So that would be Nuvuak
Puk. Nuvuak Puk here. Nuvuak Puk. Nuvuak Puk. See, because it's such a big point.
So it does mean big point.
Mm-hmm. It means big point.
So is this spelled wrong when people spell it?
Nubuk. Nubuk is permanent.
Yeah.
Nubuk. It's permanent. This is temporary,
Okay.
This is permanent. Nubuk is permanent.
Yeah.
This one, Nubuakpuk, Nubuarak, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's going to go away. Nubuk is more permanent. It's
mm-hmm.
stationary. It's there forever.
Yeah.
This one will go away. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. I mean, I kind of always consider these to be lessons more.
I know,
than
but
interviews.
they're.
I learn a lot. I really do.
They're. A lot of people like them, and it's real good.
I think
a lot of people are getting into the computer thing too.
Yeah.
A lot of them are.
Well, what I want to do is I'm putting together a report or a short paper that summarizes kind of this project with a lot of the stuff that we've talked about for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, maybe. You can make sure that there's no mistakes.
Okay. I'll look at it for you.
And I'm sure we can see if that.
Yeah,
we can pay for
it. At least
that.
Make sure it makes sense, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I want it to make sense, but now also it's really easy as a scientist to write something that's wrong.
I know, but to the Eskimo, it might, they might not understand.
Yeah,
it,
right.
It's better if you let somebody who knows about the ice look at it, and that way you'll have a. The people can understand it too.
Mm-hmm.
The hunters. Yeah. If one guy can understand it, the other guys can understand it without, without a lot of explanation and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The people who do the hunting up here, they don't have to do a lot of explaining to them. If they look at it, they'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it makes sense like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll continue doing it. I'll be doing this next year as well.
The people like these maps. And a lot of them are getting into the computer.
Yeah.
The computer, that thing, I think that that's a real good help for the people out there.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to do. It's nice because I get to actually get out there and see what the ice is like.
Yeah, it's good. The computer thing, I think it's something that should stay around for a long time.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I can't promise because I'm not in charge of money, but I was wondering if, down at the search and rescue, the place where people hang out, if having a kind of a screen there that had some of these, like this map and maybe our radar, just would change from the radar to this map back and forth, just have it sit there. I wonder if people would that be helpful or interesting.
Yeah, especially waiting time.
Yeah.
Especially waiting time.
Because I know there's probably a lot of people that don't know how to use it.
Yeah,
If we just had one, it just always showed that stuff.
Rescue base would be a good place for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a monitor, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, just a monitor.
Yeah.
So anything that people can play with, just look at. Like out here in the hallway, there's that screen that...
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that would be very helpful.
I can see if we can find some money for that.
Maybe past the monument right here. Past the monument is good.
Yeah.
My dad
kind of
always...
screen that covers this.
Yeah, just that. Monument is... my dad always take us to the monument.
Mm-hmm.
He took us to the point 1 year, but we almost got crushed over there. And after that, he never did take us back over there. Right. Over there, that where the two currents are?
Yeah.
That's a dangerous spot. It's always safer to go west, where there's less current. The further west you go, the flatter the ice gets. If there's too much pressure ridges, some here they got lots of pressure ridges in front of Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
Not even any flat spot. That's when they go further south.
Mm-hmm.
They know. When this get too rough right here, this area where we do most of our hunting,
mm-hmm.
when it's too rough and you can't even break a trail on it, they think like maybe the big guys pushed all this, that's why it's so messed up right here that you can't even make a trail on it. So they're thinking the heavier ice is over there somewhere to the west of us, and when they go further west, they start hitting the heavier ice.
Mm.
That's what makes it so much.
You mean they?
You can't even make a trail some years right here.
Yeah.
Because of the big heavy ice that did the pushing right here, it's all, you can't, it's just high, two stories high, and goes forever and ever, and no flat spots at all.
Yeah.
That's why you always have to think that the heavier ice did all the damage right here.
Mm-hmm.
So the further south you go, further west you go, you're going to start hitting the heavier ice over here.
Yeah. Yeah. In the land faster, you mean?
On the land faster, yeah.
That makes sense.
Some of it will actually get left behind.
Yeah.
Because ice always break up, even if it's too thick. If it gets too heavy, it'll break up. Even the real heavy ice will break up. Mm-hmm. If it's grounded, that's why they go further south. When this is, you can't even break a trail on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go further south. That's why my dad always take us to the monument.
Yeah.
You get a better, you'll start hitting some of this heavy ice that is, you know, 10, 12 feet thick,
mm-hmm.
that multi-year ice.
Yeah.
That's what does the damage right in front of Barrow right here. Mm-hmm. Some years you can't even make a trail. Like this year, the terrain was really low. Sometimes you can't even see the water, even if it's only a couple of miles out.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure reaching is so high, and some years you can't even make a trail through here, right in front of Barrow. A lot of time that happens in February and March. I think the February and March are the ice building months there. What happens in February and March is gives you an idea how the ice is going to be for the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it does the pushing and making the pressure ridges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that one year when I was doing my observations, this one never even right up to the end of the runway.
Mm-hmm.
This one never even had any ice until March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the same year that it all broke out?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This part always formed real quick, all right? This one right here.
Mm-hmm.
It always seems to form real quick right here, especially right off the point. That's where it actually starts building first in the fall time,
mm-hmm.
right off the point. It'll form over here, all right, but this part always break off.
Mm-hmm.
This one always stay around, maybe because of the wind don't, you know, blow it off right off the point.
Well, that's a good place for our site.
Yeah, that one is. Even, you know, same time it will form all over here, but it always break off right there. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
It's always forming good and solid first right here.
Yeah.
Well, if you're done, I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I can go get some gas. Did you have a ride?
Yeah, I have a ride. I have a Basque truck. So.
Okay. I'll just get a ride. Joe. All right.
And I think